Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. Wholesome Prison Blues on Monitor, Lenny D. February the 23rd, Monitor. The big story of the afternoon is President Nixon's trip to Europe. Ray Scherer of NBC News will report to us as soon as the president arrives in Brussels. That should be within the hour if he got a seat. Here's music, the Irish Rovers, and Lily the Pink.
Now here's a story, a little bit gory, a little bit happy, a little bit sad, of Lily the Pink and her medicinal compound, and how it drove her to the bath. Well, Ebenezer thought he was Julius Caesar, so they put him in a home, and then they gave him medicinal compound, and now he's them.
Was the shortest man in town, rubbed his body with medicinal compound.
Now he wears only half a pound.
Lily died and went up to heaven. All the church bells they did ring. She took with her medicinal compound.
Hark the herald angels sing. We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink, the Pink, the Pink, the savior of the human race. She invented medicinal compound, was efficacious in every
President Richard Nixon's on his way to Belgium, the first stop in an 8-day trip to Western Europe. Now, how do people feel about his making that trip? In Cleveland, Ohio, our Monitor reporter asked the man on the street, and occasionally the woman, if they were in favor of the trip. Here are some of the answers.
Well, I favor it because I feel that he needs the information, all the information he can get to make it possible for us to know how to move.
I think that it's a good idea that he's going to Europe. I hope maybe that he can get into, talk with some of the leaders over there, get this war over with, especially get in with France, Britain, and maybe Russia. Maybe together they can solve this Middle East crisis, and maybe they can get together and put an end to this war.
I don't really care whether he goes or not. Okay, I wish he'd stay over there.
Do you favor the president's trip to Europe, and if so, why?
Yeah, I think I would favor it because he has to find out what's going on, and I think you can negotiate a little bit better face to face.
It's all right to me. Somebody got to take a vacation sometime.
No.
No, I seriously don't think he should go.
Why?
Because he's a brand new president, and he doesn't have any, I don't think he knows enough about what he's doing yet to go over there
like
and
Mr.
try to.
I agree.
Right.
He thinks he's so cool going over to West Germany, and he could just cause more trouble by going over there brand new. I mean, he thinks he's Mr. Cool now. I don't think he should go either.
Reaction from other parts of the country later today. And, of course, a report from Brussels as soon as the president arrives there.
Stay right here on NBC.
At 12 past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon. Dionne Warwick on Monitor, this girl's in love with you.
You see this girl, this girl.
My head.
A monitor tip for drivers, I hope. If you have a stick shift sports car, you probably shift down when approaching a corner to use engine braking. That's not smart. It wastes gasoline, it increases engine wear, puts unnecessary strain on everything from the clutch to the differential, and the passenger. Engine braking is for racing drivers only, not for the road. Now, here's some good information from State Farm.
David Frost here for State Farm Mutual. From the results of a series of violent meetings, it appears that, like the English, Americans are well on the way to solving the problem of overcrowded highways. Unfortunately, we're all doing it by a process of elimination. A typical meeting goes something like this. One auto, sometimes driven by a person who maybe shouldn't even hold a driver's license, violently meets another auto. Sometimes one driver is eliminated, sometimes both. State Farm doesn't feel that this is the way to solve the American traffic problem. They feel that the National Highway Safety Bureau's 16-step safety plan is a far better way. That's why they're urging you to support it too. Because if the violent meetings go on like this, the problem might well become what to do with empty highways. And who's going to be left around to solve that one?
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Ray Conniff and friends, I've got my eyes on you. When the President of the United States goes to Europe, it's first class all the way. Richard Valeriani, NBC News Washington, was there when President Nixon left this morning. Here's his report.
When President Nixon boarded Air Force One this morning, Mrs. Nixon and their daughter Patricia went aboard with him. But the two women stayed only a minute. Mr. Nixon has classified his trip to Europe as a working visit, so his family did not go along. The list of members of the president's official party reflects his intention to keep ceremony and speechmaking at a minimum. It numbers only 18, and it includes only one speechwriter, William Sapphire. One of the 18 is a U.S. Army officer stationed in France, Major General Vernon Walters, a military attaché at the American Embassy in Paris. General Walters is a linguist who has served as an interpreter for Mr. Nixon in the past and who will do so again in Belgium, France, and Italy on this trip. He does not speak German, however, so the State Department is providing a translator for the visits to Bonn and West Berlin. There's only one woman in the official party, Miss Rosemary Woods, the president's longtime personal secretary. but not everyone traveling with the president is designated a member of the official party. There are, for example, two stenotypists along to record every public presidential utterance and two transcribers to prepare an official text of what he says. No members of the president's private household staff went with him, but his traveling staff does include military aides who will supplement embassy staffs abroad in making sure his clothes are pressed and his shoes well shined. Unlike kings of yore, a U.S. president does not take with him his own personal food taster, but the preparation of anything he has served will have been carefully supervised. Richard Valeriani, NBC News, Washington.
As soon as the president arrives in Brussels, his first stop, we'll have a report live from our NBC News correspondent on the scene.
You are my reason for living. Nothing can take our love away. You are my one desire. You set my heart afire with everything you do and say. It's all happening for you and me, you and me. Now you said you'd come on back to me. Can't you see? We never thought that a love could be so wonderful for you and me. You and me. It's all happening for you and me. You and me. We'll go walking in the park again. Can't you see? A love like ours can go on forever. And there will just be you and me. Said you'd come on back to me. Can't you see? We never thought that a love could be so wonderful for you and me. You and me. It's all happening for you and me. You and me. Bells are jingling for you and me. You must agree. Hearts full of love, no more to be broken. And there will just be you and me. And there will just be you and me. And there will just be you and me.
That was Leapy Lee. It's all happening. Capitol Hill Monitor, close-ups of the men who make the laws and often the news. Here's Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
The big drive in Congress to crack down on certain tax-exempt foundations is largely the work of a plump, pale-faced Democrat from Texas, Wright Patman, who first came to Congress in 1929. Patman is a crusading gadfly who has probably done more feuding and fighting than anyone else on Capitol Hill. His family had its roots deep in the heart of Texas, and he grew up at a country juncture called, interestingly enough, Patman's Switch.
We had our own store, supply store, and we had our own grist mill, ground the corn for meal. We had the only lumber, we had the lumber mill, and we had the shingle mill, and we had the gin, the cotton. Just a community. We were not rich folks. We were poor folks, but we lived good, at least had plenty to eat.
Patman was elected to Congress as an advocate of Social Security 7 years before the law was approved.
I was only the only Southerner or Westerner who had advocated old age pensions when I ran for Congress. And that they called me a communist and an IWW and everything else. But I felt like I should carry that out, and I organized a group called the Mustering Committee to support old age pensions. And we were getting lots of support for that. And finally, Mr. Roosevelt came along. And, of course, he took it over, as he should. And we got an old age security law passed.
Patman also pushed through the Soldiers' Bonus Bill of the mid-30s, sponsored legislation to help small businessmen, and conducted endless legislative warfare against big bankers.
They're the evils. They're the rotten apples in the barrel. They're the fellows who crush the rest of the people. Little bankers don't have the power to do that, but the big bankers do. And the big bankers are crushing the little banks, too. They're beginning to feel it.
Patman sponsored a resolution of impeachment against Herbert Hoover's Treasury Secretary, Andrew Mellon, for being involved in outside business activities. Mellon was not impeached, but he was dropped by Hoover. Patman's critics have called him a funny money man and many worse things, but nothing has disturbed him.
Nobody ever accused me of conflict of interest. They accused me of being a populist now and then, which, of course, I appreciate because I think it's a compliment. You know, there are lots of Democrats and Republicans going to the penitentiary, but you never heard of a populist going to the penitentiary.
Patman's strongest denunciations have been reserved for the Federal Reserve Board, which he has consistently charged with pursuing policies of high interest rates to benefit the big bankers and not all the people.
They're guilty of it right now, and they really ought to be impeached right now, the Federal Reserve Board. If we were doing our duty, we would either make them change their course and release the greedy power that they have grabbed, seized, or they ought to be impeached.
Patman has also accused the Federal Reserve Board of being highway robbers and many other things as well. But after more than 40 years of Patman's wrath, the board doesn't seem worried about the Texas congressman, who may go down as the last of the great populists, staunch friend of the little man and fierce foe of the big banker. Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
The Ventures with Soul Breeze. In Nogales, Arizona, KFBR is your NBC station. All the stations get a word in here, then we'll be back. Morgan for Monitor.
This is Dean Mell. Apollo 9 will lift off Friday, February 28th. For complete coverage, stay with NBC News.
Monitor music for those who are smiling through. It's Sunshine Wine, and Perry Como sings it.
Sunshine wine and dandelion gold. Your love is mine, and there's peace in my soul. I own a castle in the air, and everything's fine, fine, fine. Life's beautiful, my cup is full of sunshine wine. Sunshine wine and diamonds of dew, sweet dreams to find, and the faith they'll come true. Birds those golden songs, the silver dawns are yours and they're mine. Oh yeah, life's beautiful. My cup is full of sunshine wine. In the eyes of the world, what I only see small. In the eyes of my girl, I need nothing at all, nothing at all. I've got sunshine wine,
sunshine wine,
and dandelion gold,
dandelion gold.
True love is mine,
true love is mine,
and there's peace in my soul,
peace in my soul.
I own the castle in the air, and everything's fine, fine, fine. Life's beautiful, my cup is full of sunshine wine.
Sunshine wine.
Life's beautiful, my cup is full of sunshine wine.
Sunshine wine.
Life's beautiful.
Larry Page, I Say a Little Prayer.
Here's Molly Kerr.
Here's more gun. And as soon as President Nixon arrives in Brussels, we'll have a report. Here's Sue Rainey, Early Morning Blues and Greens.
A distant night bird mocks the sun. I wake as I have always done. To freshly scented sycamore. And cold bare feet. Steaming coffee warms my face. I'm disappointed.
Remember when there was always one kid in the neighborhood called Fatty? I don't think they call kids that anymore. The nickname's gone, but there are still fat children. Dr. Joyce Brothers tackles that problem.
In France, they force-feed geese to make them fat. In the United States, we're doing the same thing to our children. That's the opinion of Dr. Charles Corbin of Texas A&M, who's been weighing school children in the United States and comparing their weights with those of children in Canada and Great Britain. The result? Our kids are less fit and more fat, says Dr. Corbin, and he doesn't think we should be proud of the fact. In grades 1 through 7, Dr. Corbin found that from 6 to 17% of the boys were overweight, and in every grade they were outnumbered by pudgy girls. Neither parents nor teachers seemed concerned about the excess poundage. Most of them considered it baby fat that the youngsters would outgrow. In his research on the subject, Dr. Corbin has found that they usually don't outgrow it. Fat children tend to grow into fat adults, and through the years they just keep getting fatter and unhappier. Fat people aren't the jolly folk they sometimes seem to be, the American Psychiatric Association says. They've had a team of psychiatrists investigating what's behind the fat man's smile, and they've discovered little joy. What they did discover is lots of self-contempt and all the psychological problems a dislike of self can nourish, from apathy to paranoia. No matter how talented, wealthy, or wise the fat man is, there's always one thing uppermost in his mind. That's his weight. It weighs him down psychologically as well as physically, and keeps him from fully savoring life's joys. Things are even worse for the grossly overweight woman. The psychiatrist found that she's often a deeply depressed person. She tries harder than the male to diet, and fails because in her misery she needs food for consolation. Most adults fail when they try to reduce, Dr. Corbin says. That's because the dieting should have started in childhood. Instead of cooking for the kids, Mom should have been jogging with them. Dad, too. Not just for the sake of the physique, but also for the sake of the psyche. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
You. I suppose that's all true, but the trouble with trying to put a kid on a diet is he may be fat, but he doesn't know yet that fat people aren't happy. Here's Frank Sinatra, the thin one, to sing Both Sides Now.
Bows and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it clouds illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. Leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. But something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life, don't know it at all.
The Duprees sing in 1 minute on the Monitor Beacon. The Duprees, as promised, with My Love, My Love.
Who makes the robin sing? My love,
my love,
my love.
Who
brings the joy to spring?
Who asks for you, my love? Love that you gave to me.
No doubt about it. Your Plymouth dealer tells it like it is when competition can't even write it down. Did you know Plymouth Fury comes with class exclusives like torsion bar suspension for better handling, single unit welded body for strength, 7-step dip and spray treatment for rust proofing? Competition offers none of these features. Did you know Fury 3 has the biggest brakes, the biggest trunk, and the most rear seat room in its class? Precision, easy-to-read gauges instead of warning lights. Widest door opening for easy entry and exit. Even a standard electric clock. Get the straight story. See your Plymouth dealer. When it comes to a great car buy, he tells it like it is. And now, during the great Plymouth sale, you can buy a new Fury with reduced prices on such popular options as vinyl roof, all-vinyl interior, and many others. Drop by your Plymouth dealers today. He tells it like it is.
What's my name? And where in the world am I going? What's my aim? Must I die without ever? Deep within, and together you're moved with emotion. A baby cries, then day begins, and you say in the arms of
Jerry Vale with Life. Now monitor sports. Emil Francis, the New York Ranger general manager who took over the coaching reins of the team when Boom Boom Jeffrian collapsed a month ago, will finish out the season as Ranger coach. Doctors told Jeffrian this week he should handle an assignment with less pressure. For the reaction of Ranger star Rod Gilbert, here's Guy LeBeau on monitor's open line.
Rod, what are the coaching differences between Boom Boom Jeffrian and Emil Francis?
Well, I think that Emil gets through to the player a little better than the Boomer because he's the one that established the system 3 years ago, and he wants the player to have a close checking game all the time, and he doesn't let anybody forget what he has to do out there. And when he comes off the ice, he sort of gets right on top of him, and he says, look, you let your man go, and that's not the way I want it. So He's different from the Boomer because the Boomer, this was his first experience, and he wasn't as observant as Mr. Francis is. And the best way that this team can succeed in winning is that we have to have a close checking game because we have good defense, and we also have the best goalie in the league. So of course we don't have the scores that Montreal or Chicago will have or Boston. So we have to be able to win hockey games with two or three goals.
You play Boston this evening, don't you, as a matter of fact?
Correct. We play the Bruins tonight, and they've given us quite a rough time this year. They're a big team, and they're really aggressive, and, you know, they're tough to beat. They have that confidence, and they just go out there, and they hit you hard, and they're a big team.
One last question, Rod Gilbert. Why did you call your book Goal?
Yeah, well, the reason why I call it Goal is because it has a double meaning. Goal, as you know, is the main expression for when you obtain success in hockey. When you have a score, it's called a goal. And also, the other meaning is when I was a kid, I had one goal in life, one ambition. It was to become a professional hockey player in the National Hockey League. And I reached it, and I'm very happy with it.
Rod Gilbert, right-wing star of the New York Rangers Ice Hockey Club. This is Guy LeBeau, Monitor Sports.
President Nixon has arrived in Brussels, Belgium. For a report, here is NBC News correspondent Ray Scherer.
The big Air Force blue and white plane arrived 10 minutes ago. It's now taxied down to an end of the field out of our sight. And we expect to see President Nixon come out of the plane in about 5 minutes. There's a huge honor guard spread out here before us. There is a red carpet about 100 yards long, the length of a football field. Upon leaving the plane, the President will be welcomed by His Majesty King Baudouin. The King will then introduce his party, the Grand Marshal of the Court, the Master of Ceremonies of the Court, etc. The President will then introduce his party, Secretary of State Rogers, Mr. Mosbacher, the Chief of Protocol, Dr. Kissinger, and others. Then the King will invite the President to take his place on a podium. They'll play the national anthem. There'll be addresses by the King and the President. There'll be a troop review, and then they will enter a tent where Nixon will meet a great number of dignitaries. It's a cool night here in Brussels, temperature about 35. There's a wind blowing. The plumes atop the helmets of the honor guard are rustling in the breeze. So that's the story here. Everything in readiness. Band is ready to play. The steps are here to be pushed up to the plane. The ambassador is waiting, and the King is standing there just across the field. We should see the president in about 5 minutes. Ray Scherer, NBC News in Brussels.
Further reports on President Nixon's trip all afternoon on Monitor. Classical Gas, Hugo Montenegro's orchestra. NBC News on the hour's next, then we'll carry on here. Morgan and Monitor.